Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the New Heights Show on Education. This is Pamela Clark, the founder and director of New Heights, and I'm doing another special on the Common Core special, Common Core curriculum, excuse me, special edition. This is a special edition show, is what I'm trying to say. Anyways, we're going to get right into it, and I have some more things to share with you tonight. One of them is connecting the dots in Obama's new federal framework for education, and it's like Common Core used for wealth redistribution, and there's a question mark, and this was published on March 31st, 2013 on YouTube. Jack O'Sullivan outlines how President Obama's Equity and Excellence Commission plans to use Common Core to redistribute wealth in America. This one's 23 minutes long, just to let you know. Here we go. We're going to give it a try.
When I was doing my school community council and my principal was talking about how great Common Core is going to be, and the teachers talking about all the things that they were changing about the way they were teaching, and they were getting on board with it, and what happened to be friends with myself. Wait a minute. That's really not about what we're talking about, right? Can we stop and think about this? And where are we? They stop kind of getting up to take that. But they weren't going to go there. They weren't going to think about it. They were going to start this morning to go forward. And it really bothered me. Because I thought, how can you change? You know, I've heard so many of them complaining about all the mandates, regulations, kind of wealth that was behind, but they were just going to stop on it. So I decided to start with research. And one of the first things I did look at was, and it was after I saw the students coming from the expertise, so I said, we have no child left behind labor. And I kind of grasped in my, you know, what am I doing looking at a child left behind labor? But I had a reason. I thought, there are so many mandates in here. Like, this is out of control. The kind of regulations they're going to put in place. The Council is going to be way worse than those child abuse. The conflict is going to be way worse than what we're getting off of. And so I called my dad. Now, my dad is a retired attorney and a retired appellate court judge. And he's like, what's about himself? He's very, happy about being retired. And so I said, Dad, how do you feel about reading enough child abuse and waiver for me? And he's a really good guy. So he said, yeah, I said, I'm really worried about it. I said, can you look at it? Can you understand? And I thought he was going to come back and talk to me about some of the things that these ladies were talking about, what kind of reflects me. But this will be an issue because he called me back and said, hey, so I've read it. And he said, well, it reads like med sheet. Then I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, after 2014, the federal money will run out, and then the state will be on the hook for all these mandates to continue, and it will bankrupt. Okay, but I just want you to think about that, because I have a state representative named Derek Brown, with my local representative, sent out a stat last month about the cost of Obamacare for Utah. And he said it was really keeping the budget high. And the stat is that 50% of Utah's budget goes for education. But by 2022, 80% of Utah's budget will go for Obamacare. 80%. and he's working. I mean, that's kind of the thing that's making you think we've got to decide. I said, why if our governor is not signed on to all the things so long with Obamacare, is that going to cost us so much? And it really is. Because of the pushing all people, so many people to look at all the private insurance.
It's freezing. Give it a second. It should start back up. Oh. It's loading. It's showing that it's loading anyways. I may have to refresh the page. I know it was right at 3 minutes, so we can get right back to where it was. Second. Okay. Whoop. Second. There we go. Sorry about that. Hopefully this will work.
I have a volunteer for Utah. He said it was really keeping him up at night. And the stat is that 50% of Utah's budget goes for education. But by 2022, 80% of Utah's budget will go for Obamacare. 80%. And he's working, I mean, that's kind of the thing that's making him think we've got to do that. I said, why if our governor is not signed on to all the things go along with Obamacare, is that going to cost us so much? And it really is, because of the pushing all people, so many people that will get out of the private insurance and go into Medicaid. So that's what's going to bring us up to that level. Now, how are we going to afford education if all of a sudden we have all these new federal mandates coming to play that are doubling down on no child left behind? Again, we've heard the common core with state rent, but I can tell you what legislative session, there was a resolution supporting common core state standards. And I thought, okay, we started common core in 2009, which most of us didn't know until last year, but that's when that started. So why is there simply this resolution coming up in 2013 for common state standards? Who's behind this resolution in Utah? Like, where did this come from? And so I started looking at it, and it turns out that it was written in 2009. The resolution in Utah was written in 2000, in Utah this year, was actually written back in 2009 by a congressman from Pennsylvania named Chaka Faha. He's a revolutionary. Changed his name to Chaka Faha, I think it's 60. And he's a former, he is a community organizer, but he's been behind the Social Common Core standards, and his governor said that he actually persuaded, he gave credit to Chuck Obama for persuading the governor to have a common core with common core. So he actually issued a resolution to support common core in 2009 before the standards were ready. Okay, so we think about everything that this comes up tonight, especially critical, talking about how good are these standards really. There's no empirical evidence. Think about the fact that we had people behind this push writing a resolution to support Common Core before the standards were written. Back in, like you say, critical, not in Paris.
Gary.
They went ahead, they built a consensus for Common Core, but they bypassed the state legislature, even though those congressmen behind it. They bypassed state legislators. They plan for Common Core to evolve into content standards. And this all comes from President Obama's actual report in our agenda, both in the interest of screening and the way those work. So they fully said they wanted to evolve, and one of the players behind Common Core is named Linda Downey-Hammond, and she has to be a very popular educator. She's a social justice educator, and she believes in the redistribution of well, a local tax money. And she's written a lot of the agenda reports for President Obama. She's an education advisor during his campaign. And she's been also behind a curriculum in Texas. Texas didn't find out on the floor. So what happened is there's a curriculum called CSCOPE. Some of you may have heard of it. That was put into place in Texas. It went around the legislative process again and got that implemented. Actually, had teachers sign non-disclosure agreements that they would not share the content of the curriculum. It was all online. So they couldn't share the content of the curriculum with parents or families. And that's been going on for a full year. You can't even believe that's happening in the United States of America. But if you look into and I'll give you a state of this. When it's down the canyon, it appears as if fiscal is what Common Core is supposed to evolve into. And it's a very anti-American. If you go online, you can Google it and start looking at some of the, they might expose some of the content of Senator Biden and Dan Patrick in the next of exposing that right now. What's going on is that it's very pro-Islamic. And very, there's one graph that shows how we're going to go from how we want to move people from capitalism to socialism to communism. That's the idea. And I think that sounds really extreme, but it's there. Like, it's just, it's there. Okay, so once they plan to have common state standards, they bypass the state legislators and then they push the mandates down onto the state through the race to the top. That's the known child of the Henry. And the idea is to create public-private partnerships so that they can start to redistribute local tax money. Okay, these are the reports that I'm wanting information from. Along with Equity and Excellence Commission reports, he formed the Equity and Excellence Commission in 2009. Now, governors now have an Education Excellence Commission. They're following the same framework. There's a lot of blueprint for reform. There's a 2020 vision roadmap, which was written basically by Mr. Chalkian, and a lot of February 2013 15 speech that helps us kind of understand where they want to go with the new federal framework. So, framework is public private partnership. Okay, this is the thing that frustrates me about the way they come from the implement. Where is the parent in the public-private partnership? Where were we when they said we're going to sign on to this? They funded outside of government, and in the a lot of Equity and Excellence Commission report, they actually talk about the fact that Common Core went around the government structure and that they want to use that for everything else that they're going to do. And one of the things that comes down here, private interest groups or businesses are not accountable to taxpayers. So when the Common Core succeeds or fails, you know, all these mandates are coming in to the state, we're left out. Our tax money goes to it. If it fails, we don't have any recourse. I'm going to go too heavily into these two people that I just mentioned. I just want you to see how deeply involved under Donna Cameron was behind Common Core. First of all, she was appointed to by Secretary Duncan to be on the Equity and Excellence Commission, and their charge is to examine the impact of school finance on educational opportunities and focus on systems of finance in order to recommend ways in which federal policy could address funding disparities. We already have to her problems with these schools. In this study, he was in charge of content specifications for Common Core testing. Okay, and I don't know how many of you, and if you're more familiar with her, but she actually had two schools in California that were failing schools, but they had to close down. She's actually opposed to standardized tests, and she's worked very extensively on that. And yet she's in charge of now half the country's testing. She was the chair of the Model Standards Committee of the Chief Counsel of State School Officers. So we've been talking a lot about the CCSSO tonight. It's just interesting, isn't it? That somebody's so that there's somebody that's so heavily involved with these little groups, and that her charge is to figure out how to equitably redistribute tax money. Okay, she co-wrote the 2020 numeral amount. The bill President Obama's education goals, the roadmap outlining how Common Core should evolve into content standards that should empower the federal government to negate America's local funding system and force the redistribution of local tax money across the municipal. So they're very clear about this. Three main objectives in the 2020 vision roadmap are: first, control education, to compel states into resource distribution, and to have a plan in place to remedy any failure to comply. And when they talk about this, they talk about withholding Title I money and things like that until they can get everything in line. Okay, so Linda Johnson Hammond, convener of one in Washington, on behalf of the Opportunity to Learn agenda. And their agenda is to speak a federal right, our federal right to learn by giving schools equal resources. And it was Congressman Bothell who gave the coding remarks to that. I'm going to go ahead and talk about this. She's a leading Democrat on the House, U.S. House Appropriations Committee, set spending priorities for $1 trillion in annual discretionary spending. So he's got a plan for where all this money is going to go. She was the one that actually approached President Obama because they've been longtime friends from the community organizing meetings, and said, we need a national commission on the opportunity to work. And that's what became the Equity and Equality Commission. I love the statement from him. States would have to quantify disparities that exist today and thereby confess their sins. That was him speaking to the Cleveland Church. Okay. Now, part of Common Core, the extension of it is that on May 15th, he sponsored a student bill of rights. The measure calls for states to provide highly effective teachers, early childhood education, college prep curricula, and equitable instructional resources for all students who attend public schools. So it's this whole reform idea that they're going to mandate the states that we have to all have all these things. They're going to require what those things are. And you know what? Secretary Duncan talked about, you can go to those speeches, how they're going to have a teacher board, they're going to have a principal board. And so resources are not just the moving around of tax money, but they're the moving around of the hiring of superintendents and principals and teachers and spreading those resources around when they say federal government wants to do it. And then I've already talked about how you can talk about the issues that are really important on the course. But the last one talks a little bit about STEM. And STEM, I don't know how many of you guys saw how many bills came into you saw this legislative session before science, technology, engineering, math. We all want that. My entire family, you guys do this in any country, so excited to hear Governor Herbert talk about how focused for STEM. Improving available jobs. And helping kids get into those career fields. But when you actually start looking at what Chaka Baca believes about why we're creating new jobs, it's more about controlling what children's opportunities are going to be. You know, these credit interest groups are going to decide that we're going to have these kinds of jobs available, and we want this many people pursuing them, and we're going to create a teacher force. And in 10 years, we have 100,000 teachers teaching STEM. And they're going to have an annual $20,000 a year stipend for the federal government to get into it. Teachers. We addressed the Equity and Excellence Commission, came out with a report. And two of these reports had a bold new vision for the federal role in education. The federal government to redesign and reform the funding of our nation's public schools. and the Secretary Arne Duncan has a view that we seek to fundamentally shift the federal role, as Alyssa pointed out. We feel an economic and moral imperative to challenge the status quo. Transformational reform especially takes time in the United States, which has more than 100,000 public schools, 49 million K-12 students, more than 3 million teachers, and 13,800 school districts, all of it largely administered and funded by local governments. Systemic change in short takes time. Okay, I want to move to the Equity and Excellence Commission's own report. They say the current system in which policy and resource decisions are made across 15,000 local school boards, 50 state legislatures, and state education agencies, plus 3 rounds of the federal government on the economic situation, is not serving national goals of equity and excellence, and not meeting the needs of far too many children in too many communities. Historically, our approach to local control has often been difficult to achieve funding adequacy and educational equity. Local authority will inevitably remain substantial, but it should operate with a clearer, stronger framework that aligns local decisions with state policy and with national commitments to equity and excellence. I remember our governor had a commission that they just created in 2010 to start following the federal commission. And then they go on. To ensure that every child receives what he or she needs to succeed in school, we require a systemic meeting for parents to run chief, a type of funding streams and personnel. Governance reform must ensure coordination and cooperation across federal, state, and local agencies. This alignment is critical, for example, when it comes to providing health care and social services to students in our schools. And when you read about that, it all ties into the data collection that Crystal was just talking about.
There was a video clip that I watched of Arne Duncan talking about the end goal being for our schools to eventually become community centers, where our children will spend 6 days a week, 12 to 13 hours a day. All 3 meals will be distributed to them. Any health care needs will be distributed to them at these centers. That is frightening.
And then they say, the recent example of governors collaborating to create the common core state standards is instructive of the collaborative cross-governmental model. They will use that term, cross-governmental model. So I will start collaborating. The truth is, governors will lure the stimulus money and race to the top grant, appoint from the federal government. Many governors truly believe that they were part of the consensus of the national standards. They really do. However, common core was not to be that as we talked about. Why should taxpayers be concerned? Utah taxpayers and state and local school boards should be concerned about national standards as the need for wealth and resource redistribution. I share my staff from their representatives our budget. And my quote from my dad about Medicaid. And then I ask, what are we doing? Why are we allowing the mandates to come down from the federal government and tell us the way that we're going to use our local money? It infuriates me. And how we're going to use our resources and where our superintendents and principals and teachers are going to come from. Because they now have private partnerships for superintendents, the county. Questions to consider.
Wow.
As Obama's Equity and Excellence Commission's recommendations are filtered down through states, will we see Obamacare-like mandates under Common Core? How high will taxes have to be to cover the cost of mandates in the new federal framework? We just need to ask these questions and have somebody speak to them. If parents, schools, local boards, and citizens don't have a voice in the new federal framework, how can taxpayers protect ourselves? If parents, schools, local boards, and citizens don't have a voice in the new federal framework, well, where will we turn when the standards aren't working for our children? Or when the federal mandates redistribute our local tax money and resources in ways that we don't improve up or in ways that don't benefit our children. So, as I said, my father and I have been working tag team this year trying to be in touch with legislators, and he released a paper in January, and in his closing comment, he said, when the Darwin County Road in 2012, the federal government should compel states to review inter- and intra-school resource distribution using established indicators. States that fail to comply would be subject to withdrawal of federal funds. and the federal government would have the right to direct remedy the problem. And then he says, I noted that the citizens of Utah and the United States are in for some spectacular surprises, including federally controlled education and redistribution of state and school district resources during Obama's second term. Common Core was their outside game plan, and the EDC is their inside game plan. He says, today, your full court presses on. So I just want to end by saying, this is actually from a lady in Missouri, and I just love the way she wrote this in her blog post the other day. She wrote, the Constitution gives the power to the states for the administration and funding of education. The federal government does not have this power. What politicians remind our agenda that the systemic change they crave is still legal. Have all the politicians on the local, state, and national level forgotten the federal government has no right to this power? So I hope that you tonight, that you'll go into the Lisa app and...
Well, that scares me. I know that's Utah, but it's coming in Ohio too now, so we need to pay attention. You want your child in community centers all day? Can't even have dinner at home? I don't think that sounds very good to me. I'm starting another one now. This one is North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest raises concerns that he has with Common Core.
Hi, I'm North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. Prior to the new administration and our current State Board of Education taking office, North Carolina initiated an effort to link our state K-12 educational curriculum to a national standardized model called Common Core. The previous General Assembly authorized this action, and the previous State Board of Education put in motion a full statewide implementation of new standards. As Lieutenant Governor, I now serve on the State Board of Education, and I have serious concerns with Common Core standards and our state's rush to implement. As a believer in local and parental control of education, I am unclear how education with a national one-size-fits-all standard will serve our students well and allow our parents the ability to be engaged in educational decisions. The very premise of Common Core, to somehow standardize learning and testing, runs counter to the world of mass customization we live in, where via technology, curriculum, and the learning experience can literally be customized to the needs of each individual student. Our rush to make this standardization change seems counterintuitive to these new educational opportunities. Common Core has not been field tested. No true countywide pilot program has been conducted in North Carolina. A pilot is not feasible because while the standards for English and math have been rolled out, the testing standards have not, nor have the standards and testing guidelines been outlined for subjects like social studies and science. In short, North Carolina is rushing to roll out a new educational standard that has not been field tested in any of our 115 school districts. This is troubling. It's like the FDA rolling out a new drug with no testing and no idea of side effects, and then telling the public to trust us. Everything should be just fine. Do we really know what we will be getting?
Technical difficulties again. He raised some really good points, though, didn't he? You can look that video up since we had some difficulties on YouTube again. Much love, YouTube. And it was put on by Dan Forrest, published June 4, 2013. You can look up my concerns with Common Core. And like I said, it was North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. So go ahead and look that up. And tomorrow I will be back on again, 12:30 a.m. for another show and more information and more YouTube, and I have some documents to share too. There's so much that I've read and studied, and there's so little time to share it with you. I may have to do a show every day this week, but if that's what I need to do, or even in the next couple weeks, that's what I'll do. Thanks a lot for listening, and please share our website, newheightseducation.org, and our email is newheightseducation@yahoo.com. Our phone number is 419-786-0247. If you want to help, volunteer, or whatever you offer, please give us a call and do that.